Afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Another Sunday, another disappointment, but luckily there's a short turnaround and the Raiders play Sunday. To break down all this, one of the best content creators on social media as far as football, Ryan Holmes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just had the opportunity to watch most of the all 22 of the Bengals game. I didn't catch the game live, but it was a rough 24 hours trying to catch up on the film from that game.
I guess we're going to get into that part early. There is so much to break down here. When you look at the way this game unraveled for Las Vegas, is this the last indictment that you need to see why Rich Bisaccia should not be the head coach going forward?
Yeah. Clearly for me, like, when he got the job, the things that I was interested in mostly were game management, end of halves, fourth downs, what does he do? Like, those kind of decisions that are crucial to win football games in 2021. And what we're getting is old school, I'm a special teams guy, I'm going to punt every time I can on fourth and short, no risk it. He's not going for the – I mean, they crossed midfield three times in the first half, and in fourth and three or less, they didn't go for any of them. Came out of half. He had, they had third and one. They tried the reverse or the jet sweep to Edwards. Didn't get it. They had essentially fourth and inches in a 4-point game. It was 10-6, punted. And then in his press conference, all he wanted to do was talk about his punter. The refusal to kick the ball out of the end zone, this is a pet peeve of mine. If you have a kicker that can kick it out, give the other team the ball at the 25 every time, do it. But he's not doing that. He's hard-headed. He's trying to kick the ball high. Let his coverage unit get down there and stop teams inside the 20-yard line. I don't think, personally, stopping him at the 18 or 20 and saving 5 to 7 yards is worth the potential for a longer return, which we saw in that game when they cut it to 16 to 13. The guy brings the ball out to the 40. There's no need for that. Pull your ego aside, kick the ball. And what really bothers me about Rich Bisaccia, and he's a great guy, and I understand why people like him, if you've waited 20 or 30 years of your lifetime coaching the NFL to get this opportunity, why be so conservative? Like, you literally have a 10-game window to go out there and prove you want this job, and you're doing everything you can to prove you shouldn't get it. So that's just my feeling.
To piggyback off that, you just see how he looks like he's over his head. And like you said, somebody who's waited 20 or 30 years for the opportunity, how are you over your head and not ready? And not just that, how are you not with that, that gambling mentality? You see somebody like Ron Rivera who's on his second coaching stint. He's been aggressive. I'm not saying you have to be that aggressive, but somewhere on the other side of passive. And that's what this Raiders offense and just the team in general look like on Sunday. You look at the offense, and we have to talk about Derek Carr because he's the quarterback of the team. I saw him fumble without being touched.
And yeah, fall. We all saw that.
The world saw it. At this point, I think he's still winning the 500 as a starter. It's not. This team, over the years, they've had quality talent surrounding him. Never got it done. Without John Gruden there, do you think that Mike Mayock believes in Carr as much?
I don't know. That's a tough question. And to me personally, I don't think Mayock's made back either. So I don't know if it really matters what Mayock believes. But, yeah, you've seen some regression here over the last couple of weeks from Derek Carr once John Gruden has gotten out of there, specifically on third down. And the Raiders just aren't being creative enough on third down. They're not getting into plays that are giving the ability to convert. Derek Carr's a big reason for that, too. He can check things at the line. I think what we're seeing is we thought there was a lot of people on Twitter saying they're going to remove the handcuffs. This is Derek Carr's offense. He's going to go out there. What he's showing me is he's just going out there and running whatever Greg Olsen's calling, it seems like. For as much as he's battled in his career and everything that he's gone through this year, like, he should take the bull by the horns. Check, get into some plays, take advantage, be a gunslinger, show the world that you want to be there. I just don't get that feeling. And then he's sitting on the sideline. with bad body language. He's by himself at the end of the bench. He just puts his hat on and stares blindly out into space. It seems like the TV cameras couldn't get enough of that. And that really, to me, I don't know what's going on, but it's inexcusable no matter who's around you. I don't care what the talent is. In a month, he's converting, the last four games, he's basically converting 24% on third downs. In the last 2 weeks, it's 12%. That's unacceptable. I don't care who your quarterback is. I don't care if it's Jamarcus Russell. I don't care if it's Donald Hollis or Vince Evans, for that sake. Like, you got to convert third downs. And we're talking third and short. We're talking the average distance here is about 5 yards during that span. We're not asking him to convert third and 10, third and 12 repeatedly. So the play calls leave a lot to be desired. His inability to check and be a little bit more aggressive leave a lot to be desired. There's a lot of things going on with Derek Carr right now, understandably, with everything he's had to deal with this season. But this is his chance to prove that he should be here and be the leader of this team. And in my opinion, in the last month, as we go through November, he's failing that test.
First, we have a Donald Hollis reference in 2021. If you had that on your scorecard or your bingo card, you have probably won something really big. To your points and to all of them, what point do you think, I mean, when I look at this offense, how do you have five games when you've scored less than 17 points?
Well, you know, I have to watch the tape, and it was kind of matched with Ruggs' speed on the outside. But this offense, for everything that it is, just go back to 2018 when John Gruden came back, and it's about tight ends and fullbacks and getting the ball to running backs. That's what this offense is. And right now, like the outside receivers, and even last year when we all complained about Ruggs not getting the ball, those guys are alerts. They're clearing out coverage. Everything in this offense is designed over the middle of the field and short with option routes to basically Renfro, Waller, and the running backs out of the backfield. And it amazes me when I watch the tape how many design passes to the running backs in the flat, short over the middle, dump offs there are, where the receivers aren't running routes. They're basically just jogging down the field to pull coverage and block once the ball is dumped off. And, you know, we give Carr a lot of heat for that. But at the same time, I don't understand those play calls. Like, if the dump off is where it needs to go, that's fine. And I think what we've seen over the last 3 weeks is Carr has fallen back into the, you know, I'm going to Waller, I'm going to Renfro, and if those guys aren't open immediately, I'm immediately checking it off too on the rest of the down. So we're seeing a ton of targets for the running backs. But this offense just doesn't get the ball to the outside guys. They don't call routes for it. They're not running slants. They're not running drags. They're not running stuff to give those guys the ball. And what teams are doing now is they're dropping, you know, they're going to play too high, but then they're also going to have that a defender in the middle of the field kind of muddy it up. And we have Waller and Renfro running into the same area of the field with a third defender now attracted there. And Carr's got to dump it off because he's not going to throw it into the traffic. But something has to change. Like, it's pretty predictable right now. Greg Olsen, for as good as they were the first 2 weeks with him, it's been pretty bad for about the last three.
I mean, that 43-point total just sits with me. The 43 points in three games is just the worst. And
it's like watching Andrew Walter. There's another quarterback for you. The days of the head breakfast offense averaging 12 points a game are back, so. It's tough. It's a tough watch.
Andrew Walter has made a 2021 run. See, trying to get these all in before New Year's. I see this. No, one last car question before we take a break. Do you think there is a quarterback starting, not an elite quarterback, but an average to slightly above, that could do a better job of this offense with this talent currently constructed than Derek Carr?
That's a tough question because he's been in this offense for 4 years. Like, if you took a guy off the street and put him in there this week, I don't think that's possible. But if they had a couple years in the system and they understood the plays and the checks and all that, yeah, I mean, the way Derek Carr's played the last month, he's basically playing, I wouldn't even say average football over the last 3 weeks. It's below average football for the last 3 weeks. And it's just the inability to create plays, to get out of pressure, to scramble. Even the ball where he's running to the sideline, I believe they were outside the red zone first half for a field goal, he's got Waller running an out route, kind of where he's bailing to. He leaves the pocket before he has to, and then that allows the defensive end to chase him down. But Zay Jones is coming open late in the end zone. He's one-on-one, and he could have tried to throw that to the back corner. It would have been a very difficult throw, but at least attempted. It's not going to get picked off. Like, there was no defensive back around him, and he just chucks it out of bounds. So, to me, it's those kind of plays repeatedly now that we've seen over 8 years, more so than, you know, one play in this one game. It's just kind of who he is. He's kind of falling back into some of the bad habits that we've seen over the last couple of years. And I don't know what Gruden did to get some better play out of him earlier in the season, but that seems like that was years ago now. They're 2-5 in the last 7 games. So
at this point with Carr, it just kind of seems that he has that is what he is type of thing. And to his credit, all the other stuff aside, John Gruden got the best out of Derek Carr, and it seems as though he's reached his ceiling. When we come back from break, I want to delve a little more into the offensive line and look at this defense, which has become tired and other things have surrounded it. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Raider Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, when you look at the Raiders offensive line, there's a clip of Brendan Parker lunging and missing Sam Hubbard that I can't shake. I can't shake it. It's third-round pick guy. Just at what point do all the fingers point to Tom Cable? As when things were going well, he got all the credit for crafting a competent line, but was it more of elite talent, or was it more of the quarterback getting the ball out quicker, or a combination of two? How much of that success should Tom Cable enjoy?
Well, I think it's a mixture of everything. Clearly, when quarterbacks get rid of the ball quicker, their offensive linemen play better in pass protection. We saw that with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning for years. Derek Carr's been really quick at getting rid of the ball when he needs to. And, you know, that's kind of a question I always have. Like, is it player development? Is it, you know, is it Tom Cable, or is it the work ethic and the internal drive that Colton Miller showed that allowed him to get the better? It's probably a little bit of both, but you got to give Cable some credit for that. But then, you know, to me, he's completely failed with Brandon Parker. He did have Gabe Jackson. He did have Rodney Hudson. He had some guys there that were veterans. Hudson should have been an all-pro a few times to kind of mask some of that. But that's gone now. Andre James has been serviceable. I guess we'll say that. Marginal, serviceable, something like that. He hasn't been average. He's a below-average player right now. They are down several guards. There's a chance they're playing their fourth and fifth guard this week if John Simpson can't go. Simpson's development to me has kind of lagged this year. He hasn't made the jump we thought he would. You know, so in totality, if you add in kind of what Cable did in Seattle, which was not develop very many guys either, you know, everyone wants to circle Colton Miller, but maybe some players are just built differently. Maybe we should give Colton Miller some credit for that and just see what happens. To me, there's some scheme stuff that's going on with the offensive line that I don't really agree with. And I'm not an offensive line guru by any stretch. But, you know, to me, I have a problem when they're running zone and the defensive tackle's lined up as a three technique to the outside shoulder of the guard. Why is the center, and this has been going on for weeks, coming down and helping there before climbing to the second level, and then he's not getting to the second level when Alex Leatherwood or John Simpson can easily just turn and block that guy in his own scheme. So some of the double teams are head-scratching. I don't know why they're doing it. Maybe it's based on fronts, but it's something that's been a continued problem. And then the running game, honestly, outside of a couple plays against the Eagles and the Broncos where they mixed it up with some more gap and power stuff, it's very predictable. Like, teams know they're running split zone whenever the tight end is offset and working across the line of scrimmage. And they're not blocking it up very well, and they're not being very creative at all. And then we saw they tried to get every wide receiver on the roster a carry last week, too, which is kind of interesting. But to me, Tom Cable has, at least this year, hasn't done a very good job.
Now, if we flip it the other side of the ball, we have talk about the defensive line, specifically the interior. Bengals ran for 159 yards. I know that Jonathan Hankins has been a favorite of coaches on this team for a couple of administrations for a while. You can't have a nose or a, like, just, I don't see it. Like, the, for as talented as the edge rushers are, that is as bad as some of the interior play has been as far as guys like Hankins. They just, I don't see it. Do you think the mounting losses combined with the fact that teams are just gashing them with the run, whomever coaches this team, do you think there's a chance that Gus Bradley will be retained?
Well, I do believe there's a chance that Gus Bradley could be back. If they bring in a young, you know, offensive-minded head coach, it'd be great to Bradley around the players that are in the system now, and then, you know, kind of just let Gus Bradley run the defense and the head coach, especially if it's a first-time guy. If we're talking Brian Daboll, Kellen Moore, those kind of guys, they won't have to worry about the defense. So I do think there is a chance, especially if we're talking Kellen Moore, because they're running the same system in Dallas with Dan Quinn. So I could definitely see that. On the Hankins point, I actually think Hankins has played well the last 2 weeks. Now, over the season, he hasn't been as well as he has in the past. I think the run defensive issues are more on the other defensive tackle, Quentin Jefferson. He's showing up clearly in rushing the passer, but he's just a little too light on those double teams. He's getting moved pretty easily. And then every once in a while you'll see, you know, Corey Littleton just get swallowed up. If a guy gets to the second level, Corey Littleton's not getting out that block. He's getting buried. So it's just kind of a combination of everything. And then this week, what you saw was the Bengals really attack the edges. They wanted to get outside. Whether it was Farrell, Nassib, or Ngakoue, to whatever side those guys were on, they were trying to get outside. They were cracking down with the wide receivers, and it was fairly successful. So I thought they did a really good job on Mixon until midway through the fourth quarter. I mean, at one point, I think he had 21 carries for 68 or 69 yards. You can't ask for much more than that, but then the dam kind of broke late in the fourth quarter as they were on the field for 35, 37 minutes.
No. One of the things we look at, we've seen, to Gus Bradley's credit, a guy like Corey Littleton, he has missed fewer tackles. He has definitely missed few. I will give him that. He's missed fewer tackles. I think that the scheme fits more of his skill set. But I will look at, you have a guy named Brandon Faison who flashed early since he was signed, but has definitely had a rough few weeks. If you're Gus Bradley, looking at Dallas, they will be without Amari Cooper. How would you use Faison?
Well, they just got to keep using him like they are, using him to weak side of these defenses. They don't have any other options. Like Desmond Trufant, for the few snaps he's played, hasn't shown much. Trayvon Mullen's not going to be back. You know, Keyshawn Nixon's hurt. He's banged up. Robertson. You know, I like the length. Faison's broken up some passes. The problem with Faison is, you know, he tries to press a little bit and then he gets beat. He kind of grabs a little bit to try to recover. He's peeking in the backfield a little bit too much. And then when he's on the same side of the field as Abram, that's when you see a lot of the breakdowns. The communication of those two guys. The touchdown to Jamar Chase, I thought, I haven't got to that part of the All-22, but just from the initial broadcast view, I would have liked to see Faison sink a little bit more on that and kind of make Mixon throw that ball in the flat and then kind of rally up. He didn't do that. Got the ball lobbed over his head. But I think Brandon Faison's about doing about what you can expect. He was brought in off a practice squad. So, I mean, I think he's played up to expectations. He by no means is he a starter in the NFL, but the Raiders don't have any other options right now.
They don't. And I like Faison. I like the fact that he came off the street and he is a Gus Bradley type of corner, same build, similar. He likes the angular corners that provide a little bit of toughness. And, you know, it's, like you said, the cupboard is looking very, very bare. When we come back, I want to preview the Cowboys game and see what you think about what the Raiders' chances are and how they can stop the Dallas offense. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, as we turn the page, we have Thanksgiving in Dallas. You have a Cowboy. I'm going to start on defense side of the ball for the Cowboys. They struggled early with stopping the pass. They haven't, but since then, to their credit, they haven't allowed a 300-yard passer since week three. What do you see in that defense that will present the most immediate problem for Derek Carr?
Well, the most immediate problem to me is Trayvon Diggs. I think you're going to see him lined up on Darren Waller quite a bit, especially if Waller lines up outside. They play the same scheme the Raiders do. They're playing a cover three with Dan Quinn. So the Raiders should understand how to exploit that defense. The Raiders need to attack the safeties, I think, you know, in the middle of the field as well, the safeties and linebackers on this team. They avoid Diggs. I wouldn't throw at him much during the game. You know, some screens. But, you know, getting those three-by-one formations and try to work vertically across the field, you know, the over route, some of that stuff, more play action. They're going to have to run the ball a little bit in this game, because if they have to drop back and pass and have Micah Parsons against Brandon Parker coming at them, and with Trayvon Diggs on Waller, it's going to be a long day for the Raiders. But then when they get their chances, and this is the one thing that bothered me about the Bengals tape, when you get single high and you have man-to-man on the outside, you got to let it fly. I mean, it's single high, let it fly. That's the saying. And he had there was an opportunity for Jackson in the last game, Zay Jones. Like, when those guys get one-on-one, even if there's no quote-unquote separation, I mean, if they're running stride for stride down the sideline and there's no safety at the top, you got to let it go. You might get a pass interference. Maybe the guy makes a play, but the chances of it being intercepted are actually pretty low. So the Raiders need to get some big explosive plays down the field, and they're not going to be able to dump the ball, I think, underneath the Waller a ton here, or work Waller on the outside. But that Cowboys defense is going to be tough because they can rush the passer. You don't know where Micah Parsons is going to be, but you have to exploit, you know, the middle of the field against this team, whether that's Hunter Renfrow, Kenyon Drake. I'd love to see some slants with Edwards, some drag routes, some in-breaking digs. You know, get Edwards involved in this offense. The fact that he played a whole game with no targets, it is concerning, and it's like they're not even trying to draw up stuff to get him and Jones the ball. And these guys aren't world beaters by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't go through the game because then without trying to get the ball to those guys, because then they're just going to keep double-teaming Waller and Renfrow. And then what do? What's the recourse? Jumping the ball off in the flat to the running back? That's not going to win games in this league. And the Raiders are going to have to score points, because I think the Cowboys, even if Amari Cooper doesn't play, are going to be able to score in the mid-20s to 30 in this game, because they're going to run the ball. And Dak Prescott still has other options. The tight ends there are pretty good, and Michael Gallup's back on the outside. Who knows what's going to happen with CeeDee Lamb?
I like the Edwards-Anthony Brown matchup if they get the ball, if Carr gets the ball to Edwards. He has the size advantage. He can use that frame. At least do something to loosen up the Cowboys defense. They, like you said, you mentioned Micah Parsons. They have a fast linebacker core. They have a fast flowing linebacker core, and they will make plays in the running game. How do you see this game going? And sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say the one thing that does concern me about Edwards that I've noticed lately is he really struggles getting off of press, which is concerning. Given that he's a big-bodied 6'3", you know, 210, 215-pound guy. So they really need to work in getting him off of press and maybe, you know, instead of having him try to fight through press and work vertically, you know, have him fight through press and work in with slants and quick in routes and stuff like that will be advantageous. But to answer your other question, how do I see this game going? Unfortunately, you know, I predicted the Bengals to win last week, and I'm kind of leaning that way. This is tough. It's a short week. You're going on the road. You're playing a high-powered offense that can run the football. The Raiders are going to have to get off the field. As bad as the offense has been on converting third down, the defense has given up quite a few third downs as well. I think both offenses are going to be able to move the ball a little bit because they know what's coming on the defensive side. But at the end of the day, I just think the Cowboys have too much firepower with Pollard and Elliott and that offensive line if they need to run it. And I don't think Dak Prescott's going to make a ton of mistakes in the passing game. So until the Raiders can show me they can put up, you know, 24 to 30 points again, I'm going to have a hard time picking them in any of these games. So I'm leaning Cowboys in this one, and I'll say, you know, 27-17, something like that.
I kind of want to agree until I see the Raiders play with any semblance of aggression and not the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. They will continue to lose. How can people find you on social media, and what have you got working?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on Twitter. It's at rholm22. It's RHOLM22. Just still working on breaking down the All-22 film from the Bengals game this week. And then I started to dive into potential GM candidates. I put a list of five guys who I would be interested in talking to. And surprisingly, the number one guy, I think, is Will McClay for me out of Dallas. He's a VP of player personnel. And you know, Dallas has had loaded rosters. They always have talent. But the thing for me is Dallas has hit on those top draft picks. When you start looking at that roster, Zeke Elliott, they found Dak Prescott. You know, they got CeeDee Lamb. They hit on Michael Gallup. You hit on Micah Parsons. You hit on Trayvon Diggs. The Raiders haven't hit on many draft picks at all. So if you can get a guy that's, you know, been in an organization that has shown ability to acquire talent, is a GM candidate, you know, if I was the Raiders, I'd do everything I could. And if I'm Mark Davis, I find him on Thursday and lay the groundwork for a potential interview in late December, early January.
You can find all of our stuff at Full Press Raiders on Twitter. This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.